All right, the book of Titus and chapter number one. Last week we started this study and we covered the introduction, and verse number one is what we made it through there. So tonight we're going to pick it back up, and I'm going to read verse number one again and then get into verse number two tonight. It's okay, buddy. Titus chapter number one. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Titus chapter number one. I got to get over there myself. All right, Titus chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul, the servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And last week we looked at that introduction, and we looked at the first verse about Paul being a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and how we ought to be servants of Jesus Christ. Every Christian ought to have a desire to want to serve God and to serve the people around them and try to lead others to Christ. And we saw that it was according to the faith of God's elect, through faith through Him and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And if you're going to be a servant of God, or you're going to do something for Him, you have to first of all acknowledge truth. And you can't acknowledge truth till you have the faith. God, I'm just spilling it. It's okay, buddy. God gives you that faith, amen. We see there in that verse number, first verse there, God gives you that faith to become one of His elect when you get saved, and then it's the acknowledging of His word and truth what causes you to be able to serve others and be able to minister. You've got to believe that this is the word of God, amen. And I've said it, I don't know if I said it here before or not, but I believe that this King James Bible is the perfect and inerrant word of God. And I believe that by faith.
Amen.
I can take you and I can go through the manuscript evidence. I can do all that. I can take the Bible. We can take 10 weeks or however long you want to, and I might do it. And I can take you and show you through all the manuscript evidence why I believe this is the Word of God. But let me ask you this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ created the heavens and earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh?
Amen.
You believe by faith that He did that. You didn't see it. You weren't there. All right, do you believe by faith that Daniel went to the lion's den and it came out untouched and unharmed, and the angel of God shut the lion's mouth? Well, you believe that by faith. You weren't there. And then you go on right down through history that Jesus Christ, do you believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin? You believe that by faith. You weren't there, but you believe it by faith. All right, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? I do. Amen. I believe He rose from the dead. Do you believe that He walked on water? All those things, we believe that by faith. Well, by faith, I can go through manuscript evidence and I can prove it that way. But I believe by faith that we have the Word of God.
Amen.
If God could not keep a book, amen, He's not going to keep me saved.
Amen.
If God couldn't preserve His Word. So I believe that this King James Bible, by faith, I believe it's the Word of God. Amen. Not just on paper, but I believe it. So verse number two here we see, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So Paul starts off here talking to Titus. He says, in hope of eternal life. Now, people that reject this as being the word of God, and those that just evident, they despise Bible teaching and those things. People that despise the evident Bible teaching of eternal security, they'll use this verse. Those that teach against eternal security and those that teach against staying saved, they'll use this verse in a heartbeat, because it says in the hope of eternal life. In the hope of eternal life. And this is one of the verses they'll run to. They'll throw all the other verses out in the Bible, but they'll try to run to this one verse to say that I have a hope-so salvation. I've been out on the street preaching before, or witnessing, handing out tracts. I've witnessed to people at work before, and one of the number one answers I get when I ask them, do you know 100% sure that you're saved or not? The number one answer is, guess what?
I hope so.
That's what they say every time. And do you know what I do? I tell them to turn to 1 John, like I'm going to ask you to do right now. Hold your place here and turn to 1 John chapter 5. Now, there's a lot of verses that we can use, but this is just one for example. 1 John chapter 5. This teaching of a hope-so salvation is contradictory to the Word of God. And I know we're just starting out with these Bible studies. We'll eventually get into rightly dividing the word of truth and different dispensations and all those things, but we're going to stick with the basics right here. But 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse number 11. 1 John 5, verse number 11. Is everyone there? Say amen. 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us. What does it say? Eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay, so according to this verse, I can know that I have eternal life. And I'm standing before you tonight and say that I'm not perfect. I'm still stuck in this old flesh. My body's not saved yet. But I know where I'm going when I die. When I lay my head down on my pillow tonight, I know where I'm going when I die. Amen. And so there's verses, there's verse after verse after verse. We can go through the Pauline epistles and find verse after verse after verse telling us that we know that we have eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the teaching that you can only hope that you have eternal life is a heretical teaching against what the Word of God teaches. We can go over and over and over again all the verses. When Paul states in hope of eternal life, he's not saying that he hopes so, but rather that the eternal life is our hope.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying there? Amen? It's not a hope so salvation. The eternal life is our hope. That's something I have to look forward to. The fact that I know that I'm saved, that I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen? That is a hope that I have. Over there, I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when it's talking about the rapture of the church, and it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It talks about someone that has no hope. Someone that's not saved, they don't have any hope. You know what their hope is? It's the lake of fire. Amen? But I have a hope in eternal life. And it's not a hope so salvation. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Now, the biggest group that teaches this thing of a hope so salvation is the Campbellites, or the Church of Christ. They'll use this verse to teach that you cannot know for sure that you have eternal life. They'll ignore all these other verses, or they'll explain them away, but they'll use these verses to teach that you cannot know that you have eternal life. When they read this verse, they read it like hope being the subject of eternal life and eternal life being the object. That they hope that they have eternal life. I wouldn't want to live that way. I don't know how in the world you can grow as a Christian or be a pastor or a Bible teacher and you don't know for 100% sure you're saved. How are you going to do so? How are you going to help somebody if you can't get that settled? There might be someone here tonight that doesn't know 100% sure if they're saved. Man, you got to get that settled before you go anywhere. You won't be able to handle the things of God if you can't decide whether or not you're saved. I dealt with a lady at the church I pastored before, and she had been in church her whole life. She grew up in church. She gave me a clear testimony of salvation. She was up in her upper 60s. And her mother passed away. Her mother was a saint of God. She grew up in the church. I mean, just a good, godly lady. And on her deathbed, this lady, 60 years old, grabbed her mother's hand, and her mom said, looked up at her and said, I hope I've done enough. This lady's 60 years old. I dealt with her, and I dealt with her, and I dealt with her, but she had been told her whole life that you cannot know. The Bible says in Romans 3:2, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. This word has got to be the final authority. And so she sat there holding her hand and said, and she's crying because she hopes her mom did enough. Man, whenever my granny passed away, she wasn't perfect by any means. She loved God. I know she was saved. And man, that was a peaceful, rejoicing time when she went home to be with the Lord. We knew where she was going, amen. It was sad that she was leaving this world, but we knew where she was going. We had a hope. Amen, a joyful hope that we knew where she was going. That was our hope. Brother Brian Elliott and his wife were here this past Sunday. Y'all pray for them. They're praying about coming over here. And just a couple weeks ago, her grandmother, Miss Elliott's grandmother, they said they had a camp meeting in her room. Amen. When she went home to be with the Lord, They said they all grabbed hands and they prayed and they started singing Amazing Grace and they started singing There's Coming a Day right there in the hospital room.
Amen.
That's the hope I'm talking about, amen? It's not a hope so. But I've seen people, and if you've been around this thing any length of time, you've seen people that they're like, man, I hope I've done enough. Man, they're good. And none of these things save you. But these people are saved and they go to church and they're faithful and they'll give you the shirt, they'll help anybody and they'll give money and none of those things will save you. Don't get me wrong, but those are fruits of salvation. But then they get down and say, man, I hope I did enough. I hope you're not in that situation tonight. I know I'm not. When I lay my head down a pillow at night, I might have a backache or a headache or something that keeps me up, but it won't be whether or not I'm going to heaven. Amen. Amen. It won't be one of those things. It might be dreaming about some big old lobster on a plate. Amen. He's telling me about this big old lobster and potato. And amen. What time is it? We got to get moving. Amen. I might be dreaming about that tonight, but I'm not going to be worried about, you know, whether I'm going to hell or heaven. I know where I'm going. And I know that 100%, and I know we're just briefly covering this very deep subject of eternal life tonight, but I know where I'm going without a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
You say, you know, you're trying to talk somebody out of it tonight. Come talk me out of mine. You're not going to talk me out of my salvation. I know where I'm going. Amen. And if I can talk you out of yours, you need to, you know, check up and see if you're saved or get secure on that thing. Amen. To know that you're saved. And so the Church of Christ, man, they'll use this verse and you say, well, you're talking about them. Well, anybody that goes against this word, amen, Paul did it often. If they went against his Bible, I'm not saying anything about them as individuals or as people. They might love God, but they're teaching heresy. They are, amen. And you might know somebody that goes to one of them churches. I do, and they're good people. I can talk to them and stuff, but when it comes to this book, we don't get along. We don't. They go against God's Word and the teachings of His Word. And so the Church of Christ will teach this thing, and they got it backwards. They're saying we hope that we have eternal life. Instead of eternal life being the hope. Amen? I've got something to look forward to. I don't know about you. I've got a better place to look forward to than down here. Man, I love my family. I love being here with them. But my daughter's saved. My wife's saved. And these two haven't come to the age of accountability yet. And when they do, I'm praying that they get saved. I've got a better land to go to tonight.
Amen.
Amen. My real home. Not just over there in West Jefferson, but my real home.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to that day. The dictionary definition of hope, as used in this verse, is this right here. A desire of something good accompanied with the expectation of attaining it. That's the Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of hope. All right, as it applies to this verse. It also means confidence in a future event that brings joy and pleasure, not anxiety.
Amen.
That's the hope this verse is talking about, amen? It's not a hope so. I hope I make it. I hope I make it to go get something to eat after church. Amen?
Amen.
But I've got a great hope in heaven one day.
Yeah.
Man, I know that I'm saved tonight. And I hope you say you keep saying it. Well, yeah, amen, I hope you get it tonight too.
Amen.
Amen. I hope so. I hope so you. I hope so you get it. Amen. But I know where I'm going when I die.
Amen.
The way that the term is used in our text verse here, it simply refers to the fact that one day we're going to get a glorified body. You know what that hope is? That hope's a glorified body. Look over in Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Romans chapter 8. Let's look what the Bible says about hope. We're doing that Sunday school lesson on how to study the Word of God. And first of all, you got to be saved. You got to believe that this is the Word of God. And thirdly, you got to search the Scriptures. Compare Scriptures with Scriptures. So let's do that tonight and look at this thing of hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 through 24. The hope that we have, the hope that this verse is talking about, is a glorified body that'll be just like Jesus Christ's when we'll live forever with Him. Romans 8, verse 23 through 24, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. To wit, all right, it's going to tell us about it, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by what? What does it say?
Hope.
We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Do you know what that hope is? That's our glorified body.
Amen.
You realize that you might be saved in here tonight, but your body and flesh is not saved.
Amen.
That's why you think things you shouldn't think sometimes. That's why you do things you shouldn't do sometimes.
Amen.
That's why when somebody cuts you off going down the interstate, they're texting on the phone like I did the guy tonight. I about ran off the road. Picked up my phone, was looking at it, and about ran somebody off the road. He was probably cussing me out. Just like some of y'all do when somebody cuts you. That's that old man.
Yeah.
Paul fought against that old man every day, so our old man's not saved yet. And you know what hope I have? The hope I have is no more back pain.
Yeah.
Amen? No more asthma. I've got asthma. And I've kind of grown out of it, but growing up, all the kids would be outside playing, and I'd go out there for 2 minutes and be right back inside sitting down with a breathing machine or something on. Amen? You know, when we get up to heaven, we're going to be able to run and play all day long. Be able to eat as much as we want to. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Got a few amens right there.
Uh-huh.
Be able to eat as much as we want to. And get when we get that glorified body, that's the hope that this is talking about here. Look at Colossians 1:5. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. All right, just like we talked about in Sunday school, there's a danger in just taking one verse and giving it some kind of private interpretation and just running with it like some of these heretical teachers do. You got to study the Scriptures and see what the Bible says about the thing before you just run with it. Colossians 1:5. All right, if you're there, say amen. That way I know y'all are there. Colossians 1:5. Still hear a few pages turning. Colossians 1:5. All right, for the what? The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So this thing that we have hope for, that we're hoping, the Bible says it's laid up for us in heaven. We don't have it yet. And those that are hurting tonight can say amen to that. We don't have that glorified body yet. Amen. We don't have that thing. Look at Colossians 1:27, just a few verses down. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's that hope again. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. It's Bible study tonight, so we're going to turn in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Philippians 3, verse 20 through 21. I'll make sure everybody gets there. I don't know about you, but as I read these, man, it excites me thinking about what's in store. What's in store for me. You see all the wickedness of this world, and you see all the people that are in pain, and hearing about the little girls that are going through cancer, and the teachers, just the wickedness of this world. You know what all that stuff stems from? It's sin. It's the fall of man. It's not God's fault. It's because of sin that we have to go through these things. But one day we're going to a place where there is no sin. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, for our conversation, that's our livelihood, is in heaven. All right, so now we're talking about something that belongs to us that's in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So there's a livelihood. There's something that's in store in heaven for us that's just waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and get us. Whenever He raptures that church up, man, we're going to get that glorified body that's like unto His body. And just like eternal security, this is a lot. There's a lot more study we can do here. We can look at Christ's glorified body and see what our body's going to be like. And I believe personally, and I believe I can show you through some scriptures, that you'll look like whatever you would perfect. I don't believe we're all going to look identical. And I believe that we'll know just as we're known. I do, and I believe I can show you some scriptures on that. But I believe everybody's going to look identical. I believe, however, you would look perfect. It said we'll be as Christ. It didn't say we would be Christ. Isn't that what that verse says? Like unto His glorious body. It didn't say we'd have His glorious body, like unto His. So there's some things there that we could study out at another time. All right, look over at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Back here in our book that we're studying, Titus chapter 2, and verse number 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed what? Hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? So, based off this verse right here, the blessed hope is not the same thing as Christ coming back. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what's that hope? What is it? It's the glorified body. Amen. All these verses we're looking at, that's that glorified body that we're going to get when we get to heaven. Titus said he's looking for that hope, that blessed hope, and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ right there in that verse. All right, let's look at one more. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3. First John 3, 1 through 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. There's that glorified body again. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this what?
Hope
in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Well, that hope back here in our... go back to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life. I don't know about you, but man, that clears up a whole lot when you go through and study God's Word and compare Scripture with Scripture to know that that's not a hope-so salvation. That's something we know that we're going to get one day. A lost person, they do not have this hope at all.
Amen.
Someone that doesn't have Christ, they have no hope. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:13. They don't have any hope. I do not understand. I cannot comprehend. I'm saved. I've been saved since I was 10 years old. And I've been in church my whole life. So I don't understand. I cannot comprehend what it would be like to go through some of the things that you have to go through in this life without God. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend how someone could do that. Some of you in here might have got saved later on in life, and you probably can get up and give a testimony of what it was like to go through some things without God. But I don't understand how someone can do it. I've done funerals. I've done a handful of funerals, and one of them I did at the church I pastored before, and there was a young man in the church, his dad passed away. And I visited him in the hospital just a few days before he died. And I got into this man and lived a hard life. And, man, he had gotten away from God. And I got in there and talked to him, and he gave me a clear testimony of salvation. He said, preacher, I know that I'm saved. He said, I know my life doesn't show it, but I know that I'm saved. And so I got up at his funeral, and, you know, there's not a whole lot of things I could say about him because he lived a rough life. He got away from God. Man, done some things to his family. And so I got up and I told of his testimony that he gave me. And then I didn't say another thing about him. There wasn't nothing to brag about. But then I bragged on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I preached out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When they were done, they were going through and seeing him. The family was seeing him one more time. And the young man in my church, he's saved. He knows where his dad was going. He heard his dad say, "I know that I'm saved." Man, that brought peace and joy to his heart. He was worried about it before then. But that brought peace to him. He went up there and he's crying. He just lost his dad. But man, there was something different about him. There was a peace. And he said, "Dad, I'll see you again." His sister came up right behind him. She's lost. She does not know God. She about knocked that casket over trying to pull him out of there. Because I just got done preaching that if he's saved like he said he was, and only him and God know, but he gave me a clear testimony of salvation. And if he did what this Bible says, he's saved. And so I told them that, and she about ripped him out of that casket because she wouldn't see him again. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, what? I don't know how people go through it without hope of knowing God. Amen. I know where my granny's at. I know where my papa's at. One of my best friends growing up died at 16 years old in a car accident. A drunk driver hit him, but he was saved. We had good fellowship at 16 years old, and I know that I'm going to see him again one day. Amen. I've got that hope. I know that. And some of you that are saved, you've had some that have gone on before. Amen. If they're saved, you've got that hope of seeing him again. It's important for us to witness while we're down here and tell others about Christ. It's important for us to have the prayer requests and pray for each other for ailments and health and all those things. But man, we need to have somebody in our heart that we're praying for salvation. Because this thing's not getting any better. This world's not getting any better. And the closer that we draw to the coming of Christ, it's getting there. Years ago, when I was little, 10, 11 years old, I listened to preaching from these old-time preachers. And they preach, "He's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back any day." And they believed it. Amen. Amen. And I still believe he's coming back any day. Amen. And we've got to tell others that they don't have any hope. We are the only hope that they have. You might be the only Christ that anybody ever sees. You might be the only Bible that they ever read is your life. And we've got to tell them about him. Amen. All right, let's try to finish up verse number 2 here. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie." And I tell you tonight that God is incapable of lying. He said, God can do anything. Well, he just said right here that he cannot lie. Amen, amen. He cannot lie. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. You don't have to turn there. Numbers 23, 19 said, "God is not a man that he should lie." And thank God for that. Amen. I know I have faith in him. I put my life, my trust, and my faith in him. And if he's a liar, then it's all in vain. God cannot lie. The Bible says over there in Psalms, hey, got it right here. We'll read it right here. Unless one of the kids turn the page on me. Psalms chapter number 12 and verse number 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So if God tells me that he could keep a book, amen, that he could keep this book from that generation forever, and I believe that, amen, then I've got faith that he could save me. Amen. If I believe for 1 minute that God lost the ability to keep a book, how in the world can I believe that I'm saved? I'll be right back in the boat with the Church of Christ hoping that I'm saved and hoping that I did enough, amen. I've got faith in him that God is not a man. And man is fallible. Man will fault you and mess you up. Miss Rita tonight said, the folks that were with her, Miss Mary, they said, "Man, they've got a lot of confidence in you. They like you and they like your preaching." I said, "Well, praise the Lord, but do they love Jesus? Because I'll let them down sometime or another. I'm just telling you, I'm going to make you mad one day. And I'm not going to do it on purpose. You know, sometimes I might not know why I made you mad. I might have said something. I might not have. I don't know what it is, but I'm a man. And I'm fallible. I'm still in this old flesh. I don't have my glorified body yet. I'm going to try to do right. I'm going to try to love. But I'm going to get up and preach what God tells me to. And I might make somebody mad in here or upset. But I'm just a man. Don't follow me. Follow God. As the pastor of this church, as long as I'm staying with this book, you can follow me all you want to. Amen. But if I ever go crossways, stay with the book. Stay with God. He will not lie and he will not fail you. But I might. I'm just telling you, I might make somebody mad one day. I might make somebody so. I'll make mistakes. My first pastorate, I made mistakes. I did. But I'm just a man. But I tell you who's perfect. That's him. And that's who we strive to please. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for Him to lie.
Amen.
I preached a message one time on some things that God cannot do. There's some things in the Bible that says He cannot do. And one of them is He cannot lie. Amen. He cannot lie. All right, let's look at the last part of that verse, and then we'll be finished for tonight. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Before God ever created the world, and He knew exactly what would take place and how it would take place. He did. He knew how everything would play out. He knew that man would sin of their own free will. He knew that He had a plan, and Jesus Christ was the plan. He said, why does He let things happen the way they do? Well, God gave every single person a free will to choose Him or not choose Him.
Amen.
Amen? He gave them a free will to choose those things and to decide. Jesus Christ, He knew from the very beginning that Christ would be the sacrifice for sin.
Amen.
He knew that Christ would be, that He would be the one that you would have to choose as the free gift for the payment of sin. And God chose that before the world began. God did not choose who was going to be saved and who wasn't going to be saved. He knew it through His foreknowledge. You say that's hard to understand and grasp. Well, it is. But God knew who was going to and who wasn't, but He didn't choose who was going to and who wasn't. He didn't pick and choose. He knew who it was going to be. Amen. But He gave everyone a free will to decide whether or not they were going to be saved. But God knew those things. You can write down these verses and we'll be done. Acts 15:18, if you're taking notes. Acts 15, verse 18. The Bible says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world.
Amen.
God knew exactly what was going to... He knew you would be sitting here tonight.
Amen.
He did. He knew those things. Did He make you come here? No, but He knew it was going to happen. Amen. He knew it was going to happen tonight. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That verse said that Jesus Christ was slain before the world even, before God even created the heavens and earth. The Bible says the Lamb was already slain. Why? Because God knew that Jesus Christ was going to be the payment.
Amen.
But you realize all through down through time in the garden, He gave man a choice. He did. He said, you can eat of any tree of the garden that you want to, except for this one right. You say, why did God put that tree in there? If He didn't want them to eat it, why did He put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It wasn't just a tree, it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. So why did God put that there? Because He wanted Adam and Eve to choose Him. I love my wife dearly. And she loves me. I don't know why sometimes I aggravate the snot out of her. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes on accident. But I do. Amen. There's another one over here. I do. I aggravate her. And I enjoy it. Sometimes I don't do it on purpose. She chooses to love me. You know how precious that is to me?
Amen.
That she chooses to love me? All right, now let's say this thing was reversed. And she had to love me. She didn't have a choice. Would that be special to me? If I knew that my wife had to love me, that she had to put up with me, amen. If I knew that she had to do that, she did not have a choice, it wouldn't be very special at all to me. But the fact that I know that she loves me and she puts up with me, she chooses to.
Amen.
That means something special to me. Well, back in the Garden of Eden, God put that tree there and He just asked them. He said, don't touch that tree. You know what He wanted? He wanted them to choose Him. We're created over there, Revelation 4:11. We're created for His glory and for His honor. That's why we were created. He wants you to choose Him.
Amen.
And down through the ages, God had the Garden of Eden. He gave them human government. There's dispensations all through there. And God gave them opportunity after opportunity to choose Him.
Amen.
They rejected God in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ came to this earth during His earthly ministry. And they gave Him, Jesus was there in person. You could feel Him. You could touch Him. What do they do to Him? They put Him on a cross.
Yeah.
Peter's preaching about the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 7, Stephen's preaching about the Holy Spirit. And it said at the very end of chapter 7, it said that they refused and rejected the Holy Spirit. He called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Why do you always resist the Holy Ghost? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Strike three, Israel's out. They're put on the shelf for now. They're still God's people. But all down through the ages, God gave them an opportunity to choose Him. And you know what He's given you tonight? An opportunity to choose Him. Every day of your life. You know what He wants you to do tomorrow when you get up? When you get in your car and you go down to the workplace, He wants you to choose Him over that worldly music. Amen? He wants you to choose Him in the conversations that you have at work, at the school place. Amen? At school. He wants you to choose Him. He doesn't make you do it. He doesn't force you to do it, but He wants you to choose Him. When you go home and you're with your wife and your family, He wants you to choose them, and He wants you to choose God. He wants you to choose Him over watching them television shows and spending time with your family and spending time with Him. Doing devotions with your family, praying. Pray with your wife before you go to bed. God wants you to choose Him. That's what this thing's always been about, giving you an opportunity to choose Him. And it's, yeah, man, I thank God that we're living in the dispensation we're in, this age of grace. Man, I praise the Lord for that, amen? There's no laws we have to keep in all those things. The Bible says in Galatians, the law is a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. But we're not in bondage to that law when it comes to salvation anymore. It's by grace through faith only.
Amen.
And God wants you just to choose Him. So He promised this thing before the world began. I gave you Acts 15:18, Revelation 13:8. I'll just give you two more. Acts 2:23, talking about Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God knew all this stuff was going to take place. Ephesians chapter 1, 4 through 5. Ephesians chapter 1, 4 through 5. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ, Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. God knew all this stuff was going to take place. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I appreciate you being here tonight. Let's dismiss with a word of prayer.